And welcome back to Regionally Speaking. I'm your host, Dee Dodson.
For the first time, Lakeshore Public Media is getting an intimate, up-close-and-personal look at municipal government leaders across the region with our new series, Meet the Mayor. Today, we're in LaPorte to speak to Mayor Tom Dermody. Mayor Dermody grew up in LaPorte and knew firsthand the potential of the city and its residents. Since taking office, Dermody has advocated for enhancing the city's infrastructure, housing, public services, economic development, transportation, as well as quality of life. Mayor Dermody is here to share how his leadership is putting a spotlight on the community about the new $1 billion Microsoft Data Hub investment. Today, Mayor Tom Dermody on the City of LaPorte in his own words. Mayor Tom, we are here in your town in LaPorte to talk about your community. You are one of our region neighbors, and so we just wanted to get the chance to get to know you and your community and share LaPorte with the rest of the region. But before we talk about LaPorte, I want to start with a few rapid-fire questions just to kind of get to know you. So is that okay?
Anything goes. Absolutely.
Oh boy. So here we go. What's one superpower you wish you could have?
Boy, you did get me right off the bat. Remake. For the mistakes I've made, to be able to remake those and learn from them.
Okay.
And I think that would be something good for a lot of people because nobody's perfect.
Okay, so then piggybacking off of that, do you ask for permission or ask for forgiveness?
I love asking for forgiveness.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
You know, I'm kind of both.
Okay.
And everything in between. So depending on the day, like we had just had storms.
Right.
It's all day, every day. Mm-hmm. But I do like getting up early and having the calm.
Having the calm before the storm. So
yes.
Spring or fall?
Fall.
Glass half empty or glass half full?
Oh, it's definitely half full.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a tricky one.
Yep.
What was the last thing you searched on Google?
The last thing I searched on Google was... who were the speakers last evening at the Republican National Convention?
Interesting. We may talk about that a little bit later on. So how would your best friend describe you?
Aggressive, relentless, and loyal.
So do you think it's more important to be respected or liked?
I think if you do the job correctly, you definitely can be respected. Mm-hmm. But also, I think liked could come along with that. But if you're doing the job correctly, I think respect is most important.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Just get in the game. Don't sit on the sidelines. You're going to make mistakes, but if you're not in the game, you can't change people's lives.
Okay, one more.
Yes.
What are you most grateful for in life?
Family.
You are
Please.
A LaPorte native? Born and raised in LaPorte. We've served in politics since 2006, if I'm correct.
Correct. And actually, before, because I was locally here on the school board.
Oh, now that I did not know. And that's a very important role that a lot of people don't pay attention to, but they are starting to pay attention to that now. And as we sit here in City Hall, you're in your second term as mayor, correct?
Correct.
Prior to that, you were a member of the Indiana House of Representatives, representing the 20th District.
Yes.
You were a small business owner, and you worked in sales. So I want to ask you, you have a wealth of experience from both the business sector as well as the public servant sector. And I've given the cliff notes of your resume, but spend some time and tell us more about you, the person.
Absolutely. I think, you know, most importantly, whether you look at my business background, mm-hmm. you look at the political experience I've had, I think it's more bringing people together mm-hmm. because the culture you set, working with others, that's the only way you're going to make change or make improvements from a political perspective. Mm-hmm. It's never been about the R versus the D, because once you take office, you throw those out the door and you have everybody working together. And, you know, we did that on day one as mayor when we had some issues that I think have been ignored for many years with slumlords mm-hmm. and taking advantage of individuals in our community, putting our community at risk. And on day one, we let them know that this no longer was going to be the way. We shut down an apartment complex right across the street that had been an issue for 26 years. So we get after it. I think relentless, that when you ask the question about what would a friend say, I am going to be relentless if I believe it's the right thing. But it can't just be my focus. It has to be the team's focus. And the one thing I appreciate about our leadership team and the community is be honest with me. Don't tell me how great we're doing and then say, but, you know, let's get to it. If you don't like something, let's talk about why.
Right.
But have good reasons. Don't just make it personal.
You know, it's interesting as I listen to you tell me about you, and you spent some time speaking about from day one, you threw out the DNR, that it wasn't about the DNR. I have the privilege and the honor to have the opportunity to speak to many state leaders, including the lieutenant governor, lots of people from the state house, and of course, region policymakers as well. And I have noted in my conversations with them the last few years, this recurring theme of working across the aisle to get the work done for all Hoosiers. And it's interesting that I thought that in those conversations that I was having with region policymakers that it was just a region thing. But as I began to have more conversations with policymakers across the state, I said that this is something that is a Hoosier thing, and it's remarkable, and I wish that it was something that was mirrored across our country. So I'm glad that you shared that from day one throughout that DNR. It's really great for everybody in the city of LaPorte.
Not only in the city of LaPorte, but you can't just say it during an election campaign. You have to actually do it every day. And when I look at the lieutenant governor candidate on the Democrat side, Terry Gooden, I served with Terry for 10 years in the state house. Mm-hmm. He was here 2 weeks before he announced that as a part of the USDA, trying to find funding for people that needed water improvements outside the city, and how could we work together.
Wow.
To Suzanne Crouch, the current lieutenant governor, who I also served with as Republican. And it's just about getting the job done. And I think people are tired of the knocks of your competitor. And I grew up in athletics. And every day you didn't worry about what your opponent did. You worried about your process, and you worried about what it's going to take for you to win. And the easy way out is always to say negative things about your opponent or the other side versus saying, hey, let's work together. I mean, I'm fine. If someone wants to get it on and talk about the issues, we'll get it on. And you see that in social media. Mm-hmm. But look someone in the eye and let's talk about the differences. Don't make it personal, and let's move forward.
So let me ask you, so what motivated you to pivot from being a small business owner, working in the business world, being a business leader, to get involved in public service, obviously beginning with serving on the school board?
You know, I think it was my father, and just he was always involved with the Chamber of Commerce. You know, I think there just was something that was given to my brother and I that, hey, give back. And how we looked is LaPorte is a fantastic, unbelievable community that I had the opportunity to grow up in. Mm-hmm. And how do you give back? Too many people sit on the sidelines and just complain. And at one point we didn't like how the school system was going and said, hey, if you want to change it, get involved. And that's what started. I never had a political background before then.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, not only did I serve, but I also was that business owner. I was that manufacturer. Right. So it's a combination. And I think that's what you see a lot of people, the true leaders, are not just trying to be a politician, but trying to give back to the community while they do their job. And that's what we have to find in the future for young people, because right now they don't want to run. And why would they?
Right.
With all the personal attacks, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. But we need young minds, new ideas from people on both sides of the aisle to say, hey, there's got to be a better way to do things, and I want to give back.
Let me ask you, so what have you brought from your experience from the business world and even from the state house to City Hall, to the city of LaPorte?
From a fiscal perspective, live within your means. These are taxpayer dollars. We passed, in my first administration, we passed the first structurally balanced budget, meaning we're not going to spend more than we have coming in the history of LaPorte. We're not going to borrow. I want to leave financially the city of LaPorte's budget in a good position for those future leaders that will come after me. Also, teamwork. You know, how do you make sure everybody knows your goals and you work together? And that's whether it's my own personal money in a business or taxpayer money here with the city of LaPorte.
That is awesome. So obviously I had to do a lot of research, a lot of digging to prepare for this interview. And one thing that I noted is that you are quite active on social media, particularly Facebook. And I found it interesting that no matter what it is, if you are highlighting a lemonade stand and encouraging people to support kids there, or if you are just out in the community highlighting, leaving City Hall, going to a business, highlighting a small business. And even when Governor Holcomb made the trek up to Northwest Indiana for the 4th of July, congratulations, by the way,
yes,
for being capital for the day, you were quite active on social media. And I sort of see this trend to that. So help me to understand, what made you adopt this strategy? And is it well received with the community?
Well, the other part is communication. And I think when you can communicate with the community, you keep them abreast of what's happening. You can't hide. And we put out there, and Jess Bruder, our communications director, has been wonderful because I'm not as tech savvy as I probably should
be. She really is wonderful.
Oh my gosh.
She's awesome.
You know, she is a godsend, and we are so glad to pull her from the State House and bring her what I consider is her home now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, without her, a lot of this doesn't get done. Yeah. But I tell you what, I think it's important that people know, number one, this is what's happening, even if it's something that we're not proud of, that needs to be improved. And then number two, I'm going to put my cell phone out there 24/7 if you have an issue or if you want to talk about it, because anybody can talk about it on social media, take shots, do whatever.
Right.
But call me directly and say, hey, be a part of the solution, not just the problem.
And I should also note for our listening and viewing audience, not only are you live on social media quite often, highlighting events, speaking about things that are happening, very much like the power outage a few days ago, but I note that you also respond in real time to comments, good or bad, as you just said. And that's quite refreshing and quite remarkable when you think about that word transparency. And as you just shared, communication is the key. So I just found it quite refreshing that you're just out there.
Well, and I appreciate that. Sometimes people want you to respond until you do, because we're not going to give you the political spin. We're going to be direct.
Right.
And whether it's our water and sewer, when we have backups, you know, we mentioned day one also, we have a $100 million problem of infrastructure because our infrastructure is 100 years old. And sometimes that means we're going to have to raise water and sewer rates, even though that most every dollar goes right back into our infrastructure. Our residents deserve the best, but we can either have low rates and do nothing or increase to competitive rates and get the work done that our residents deserve. And sometimes you have to have the direct conversation that you don't want these backups. You don't want kids playing in the streets where waste has been backed up because our infrastructure is so old. So you can't have it both ways. And I love having that direct conversation. And another one is with housing. You know, people talk every day that they want to help those low-income people, those that need help. Yet when we put a facility or in the process at our old Coke manufacturing building, that we're going to help those individuals that were homeless at one point and have either maybe a physical or mental disability, we had a pack full of people here that didn't want it in their backyard.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, where is that conversation go? It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be friendly, but we're going to stick to the facts and say this is a reason why it needs to happen.
That's quite interesting. So, Mayor Tom, I want to put a pin in something you just brought up. You were speaking about infrastructure, and I want to talk about what I consider two key strategic priorities for LaPorte: infrastructure, obviously, and economic development. And I should note for our audience that the city of LaPorte was recently awarded $1 million in federal dollars for a major infrastructure improvement to replace old sewers, which you were speaking about, to new separate sewers for sanitation and stormwater. Take a moment to tell us more about this project along Indiana Avenue that will be completed in tandem with NDOT's reconstruction of Indiana Avenue, U.S. Highway 35, I believe it is, correct?
Well, and yeah, in Indiana Avenue, it's important to get that road done, but it would be a shame not to improve the infrastructure, both water and sewer, while they're doing that work. And that's what we're trying to combine efforts with, everyone that'll work with us. And that's where we said, you know, we throw the R and the D away and said, hey, Congressman Frank Mervan covers this district, and how can his office help? And boy, did they help.
Yes.
And $1 million. And we had a press conference to recognize the congressman for his effort and his office. And again, we don't care that money is green. We don't care that it's
RD money,
and
right?
Our residents don't care. They just want to improve infrastructure. And that's everybody working together. And then you talk about Microsoft, you know,
yes.
Microsoft is a big thing. Microsoft could have come to what, 50,000 communities across this nation.
Right.
They chose the city of LaPorte. Yep. And, you know, we talk about competing with the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure everybody believed on day one when we said, mm-hmm. we're going to compete for those good companies
yes.
and those brand name companies. And yet here we are 5 years later, thanks to the great work of Bert Cook, our economic development team, and really our entire leadership team, Microsoft now will have a LaPorte, Indiana address.
Absolutely. So this is a great segue because I was going to ask you about this $1 billion investment. Major from Microsoft for LaPorte to be Indiana's first data center. How exciting. You know, you don't think about, so we're from Lake County, and people in Lake County don't necessarily think that Microsoft would make the trek to LaPorte County, to LaPorte, for such a major investment. So I want to talk about that, and I want to talk more about what this will mean for LaPorte's economy, including jobs, as well as housing, and not just jobs and housing for those that will come to work specifically for Microsoft, but we know that that will create more jobs, more job opportunities, and the need for more housing in LaPorte. So talk more about that.
Absolutely. The quality of life in LaPorte was something mm-hmm. we heard, again, early on in our administration, that kids want to have more to come back to LaPorte. And they were
yes.
leaving those that we educated, mm-hmm. smart kids.
Yep.
Now we're giving them a reason to come back home with the quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And now, hey, you can make a great living, raise a family, mm-hmm. be close to your parents, your grandparents, and make a good wage. And Microsoft will continue that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, it's going to put us on the map. And we think LaPorte, again, on day one, we expected Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mentality,
wow.
you know, we have to have companies like that
wow.
to say, hey, we think LaPorte is a perfect place for you.
Yes.
And there's not a company out there large enough or too big that we're not going to target, we're not going to work for, because our residents deserve it.
That's a bold statement to say, for one, to say, oh, we want Microsoft, we hope that we get Microsoft. But that's a pretty bold statement, and it speaks to your leadership to say we expect Microsoft. And so I think that is so powerful. I want to talk a minute about something you just alluded to a moment ago when you spoke about our talented youth. So I want to speak about brain drain, right?
Yes.
We are losing so many talented, highly educated young people who are leaving our state, unfortunately, fleeing our state, going to where the tech jobs are. Obviously, this new Microsoft Data Hub will attract those to come back here, right? Which is so exciting. So I want to ask you, and I think you've already answered this already, do you believe that this will play a part in retaining those that are here, that are maybe in college, that are planning for those tech jobs? And do you really and truly believe that this Microsoft Hub will bring those talented young people back to the region?
100%.
Okay.
You know, we have different companies already that are recruiting engineers every day, and we need to make sure we're doing our part as the city, recruiting those high-end individuals that we've already educated here,
right.
keep tabs on them, keep involved with them, make sure that they know during the summer we're finding work for them with private companies,
wow.
and just make sure that they know, hey, when you graduate, LaPorte's a great place to live. And that's why the bank's apartments were so important, so we can have some higher end living, but also address, again, the slumlords that have been in LaPorte for 20 years or more. Jeff Batchelor with code enforcement has been fantastic. And they're the little things, and people sometimes get frustrated with us, but when you see small weeds along the curb, that leads to bigger weeds and
right.
bigger areas. And people want to be proud of where they come from.
That's
and
true.
When I grew up in LaPorte had a pride about where they lived. And I think we kind of lost that. And that's why I ran for mayor.
Mm.
The expectation is high, but also people now recognize we're doing it for them. And it's great to see that they're now watching and saying, hey, you missed this or you missed that. Because I've never said we'll be perfect.
Right.
But we'll wear people out. We will outwork anybody. And we're a part of the region. And we love being a part of that region, but also if it's in a competitive situation, buckle up because we're coming. So we love having that opportunity to make LaPorte be a, as we call it, and I call it a spotless community.
I want to get serious, if you will, for a moment, and I want to talk about a topic that has garnered a lot of chatter on social media, in local media and in media in the region. And it's a topic that has caused some anxiety for some and certainly has made a lot more people happy, if you will. And that's this annexation of the 39th North Conservancy District that took effect earlier this year, right? So when I took a look at what the buzz was about, I saw two words. I saw information and I saw misinformation in a lot of the comments from people. It was either the information is out there, the information is great, it's correct, good, or someone is putting out misinformation, and they were saying that your office was putting out misinformation. So I want you to set the record straight here about this annexation, and speak more to what this will mean for LaPorte. And before you do that, because many of our listening audience may not even be familiar with the topic that we're discussing, can you kind of share what this is?
Absolutely. And so one thing we talked about is making sure with our infrastructure, everything is top-notch. And we're not going out annexing land unless a farmer wants to do that. For example, the Microsoft deal. Right. You know, they weren't going to get that deal done without water and sewer, so they needed to be annexed. It was a friendly annexation, all good there. But when you talk about 39 North, people in the county, we don't want to bother you, but if you're in the county, that means you don't receive water and sewer from the city. So we had been supplying water and sewer to the city up at 39 North when it was many years ago, and 20 years ago, a contract when there wasn't much development, wasn't much housing.
Okay.
And so now all this development happened, yet the infrastructure never was improved. And when I heard from our water superintendent, when I heard from our fire chief that, hey, did you know if you plug in, if there's a fire, one hydrant, it dries up all the other hydrants, and you have to pick, if two homes are on fire, you have to pick one or the other home. And we don't live in a third world country.
Right.
So I said, look, we're going to fix the problem. It's a $13 million problem. I can't put $13 million of city funds to make sure people are safe without saying, hey, in exchange for that, you're going to be part of the city and be part of the annexation. And if you don't want to do that, then great, the contract's up. This wasn't guaranteed for water and sewer for a lifetime. Oh. So we'll end that contract, we won't renew it, and we'll focus on the city of LaPorte, and you can have a well, you can have whatever you need to get your water and sewer, but we need to focus on the city of LaPorte.
Okay.
And so I think it worked out well. The majority of residents were so supportive of it, want to see the improvements. And we're moving forward now. And the first thing we did is we talk about spotless. You know, on day one of the annexation, we got up there and street swept the roads to make sure they knew that expectation we have.
Okay, so let me ask you, what do you believe, if not that, is the most pressing issue facing the city of LaPorte right now?
You know, always being able to pivot financially to make sure that, you know, when I was in the legislature, I supported, and 70% of Hoosiers supported, the property tax caps. That's a great thing, so that people can stay in their homes and be able to pay a known number for their property taxes.
Right.
But with that, coming from a business side, a government side, we lose 30% of that revenue that stays with the homeowner. Mm. And if I was in business, I could have my revenue reduced, but then I'm going to cut something else to live within my means and still make a profit in private business. Here in the city, we get reduced 30%. Mm-hmm. We're not reducing streets, fire, police. We did not cut any services. We're still providing all those services. So it's allowed us to find new ways to do things, be efficient. And then also, I think the other thing is going to be healthcare. Somebody has to get control of healthcare costs. We're an unhealthy state. The rates are through the roof, and we need to find new ways to do things. As we say here in the city, and we just had a meeting with our leadership team, that number one, we want to improve healthcare for our employees here while also finding a way to reduce cost. And no one's been able to do that. We're going to do that, but we care about our employees here, and we want them to know that we want the quality of life for them and their families. and we're going to find a way. But it means you have to be willing to be very nimble and be flexible, able to pivot on a moment's notice.
I want to ask you, so we do this in my home around the dinner table every night to just check in with one another, and I kind of call it a heart check. I have a very large family. So we go around the table and we share the ups and downs of our day and or our week, the good, the bad, the ugly. So I want to ask you, what have been the roses and thorns, if any, during your time serving as mayor for the city of LaPorte?
So I just love coming to work every day. I will tell you, we say team is number one, mm-hmm. our residents are number two, because if our team doesn't believe in the direction we're going, mm-hmm. our residents will suffer. And so we have a wonderful team. We have to keep them focused and happy and make sure, I call myself their blockers. Mm-hmm. So if you're running into a problem, come see me.
Wow.
I'll make sure I block for you so that, you know, you can get your job done. Mm-hmm. But also love seeing the residents. We've changed a mindset here. We've raised the standard, and it's great to see our residents, people that I grew up with, and especially those from out of town that maybe haven't come back to LaPorte for a while, mm-hmm. and they don't see, you can't see it on a day-to-day basis,
right.
But if you haven't been here for a few years, to look and go, oh my
wow.
gosh. Or to see LaPorte in the Wall Street Journal saying, hey, Microsoft's coming to LaPorte, Indiana.
Yes.
Or the national basketball tournament that we bring to the Civic where ESPN comes.
Right, big deal.
I mean, I have people texting that grew up here in LaPorte and go, oh, I can't believe that's the Civic. I'm watching it on ESPN from Arizona, mm-hmm. from California.
Right.
And some of the issues, you know, we haven't found an answer for mental health.
Okay.
And that's something that sits with me, because mental health isn't just the homeless person walking up and down the streets. And everybody, you probably know somebody or have a family individual that's probably dealing with it. We all yeah. have somebody. How do we solve that problem to keep from, you know, suicide happening? Is that, so those are those concerns. Also the drug addiction, the fentanyl that's coming in here. And people say, you can't win the war on drugs. And I said, we will end the war on drugs. And I just had it with the police chief. I'm passionate. I've had to stop going door to door on my own late at night because I've walked into some situations.
It's not safe,
but
right?
You're not going to do that with our children in yeah. LaPorte. Mm-hmm. And I want the hammer dropped. I want to knock in doors. And that's what I've said since day one, kick in doors. And we're going to pull people out that don't want to live their best life in LaPorte. And we're going to address those that are not following the rule of law, and it's just unacceptable. And I think you'll see some things in the future where if our police department, if our leadership doesn't believe that we will end the war on drugs and we will win the war on drugs, then that's a problem for me.
Offering affordable housing, family-friendly amenities, new businesses moving in, a Fortune 500 company announcing plans to build a $1 billion data center, the city of LaPorte is a community on the move. Mayor Tom Dermody, in his own words, is relentless, and after spending time with him for our up-close-and-personal one-on-one interview, he has certainly held true to his plans when first elected mayor to make changes and not be the status quo. And you can hear the full interview with LaPorte Mayor Tom Dermody by visiting lakeshorepublicmedia.org. Full video of the interview is set to be available on Lakeshore Public Media's Facebook and YouTube channels beginning on Tuesday, July 30th. You're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Media. Regarded as the wackiest festival in the Midwest, Pierogi Fest 2024 kicks off this Friday, July 26th. The free event, established to recognize Eastern European culture and pride, will celebrate 30 years in Whiting with a big bang, the always exciting, the always colorful parade. Pierogi Fest will run for 3 days and will feature food from over 75 food vendors, arts and craft vendors, and of course, live entertainment, including a headlining performance on Saturday featuring the band Sugar Ray. Joining us now to give us a guide to all things Pierogi Fest is Mr. Pierogi himself, Tony Panic. Tony, thank you for joining us today on Regionally Speaking.
Oh, man, my pleasure, Dee. Yes, seems like just yesterday we were talking about my first year as Mr. Pierogi.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Pierogi, or can I call you Tony, if that's okay?
It depends. Well, I guess I could. Whatever you see, it's up to you. It's your show.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call you Mr. Pierogi because you worked hard to get that title. So, again, you're here with us to talk about one of the most beloved and certainly one of the most well-attended festivals in the region, Pierogi Fest, right?
Now, oh, yeah.
So for those that may be unfamiliar, and when I say that there's someone unfamiliar, that probably means that they've been living under a rock, right?
You could say that, yeah. If you haven't heard about it, you might be living under a rock.
Yeah. But for that one or two people that may be living under a rock, take a moment to talk about what Pierogi Fest is exactly.
Oh, man, it's the biggest party. I don't want to say the biggest party in the region. It's bigger than that. The biggest party, even bigger than the Midwest, maybe bigger in America, maybe bigger than the world. But it's a three-day festival, always the last weekend of July, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's a ton of food vendors, over 70 this year, I believe, two beer gardens, a bunch of great live music, fun. Silliness all around, a wacky polka parade Friday night, and man, oh man, I mean, if you haven't been, you owe it to yourself to come out and check it out. And once you come, I guarantee you'll be back.
And you know what, Mr. Pierogi, I want to share this because we have so many people moving to the region from probably Illinois or other states, and they're just trying to get a lay of the land as they make their way and figure out the region, right? And I want to note that the genesis of this festival was to celebrate Eastern European heritage and as well as have fun. But I do want to note that it is not, this event attracts the most diverse crowd ever. So I don't want anybody to think that because it celebrates Eastern European culture, heritage, I should say, that it is exclusive. I mean, every time I go, I see what literally is the melting pot of America. So I just wanted to make sure that we note that, right?
Yeah, you said that perfectly. Melting pot is a great way to describe it. Yeah, it's starting those roots of celebrating your Eastern European heritage, but again, everybody comes to Pierogi Fest, no matter what race, religion, creed you are, everybody goes out and has a great time. And I want to clarify, too, when I say food vendors, it's not just pierogi, although I am biased. I say the pierogi. You guys get pierogi at Pierogi Fest. But if you even aren't into pierogi or Polish food at all, there's a ton of food to choose from. Don't feel like, you know, it's just a 70 booth full of pierogi. It's very diverse in the food selection as well.
Again, Mr. Pierogi, as Whiting prepares to celebrate 30 years of Pierogi Fest in Whiting, which again kicks off this Friday, July 26th, talk a little bit about, you spoke about it earlier, but talk a little bit more about the parade because it really is wacky and it really is zany, but it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's the annual polka parade that takes place Friday night at 7 p.m. Goes from Forsyth Park to about Indy Boulevard there as far as the route goes, but it's a huge parade, a ton of wacky characters. I mean, the Bouchas are going to be there. You got the Lawnmower Brigade trailing the fest, or the parade, I should say. You got Steve Baskerville, retired CBS weatherman, leading it off. Of course, I'll be in there. Miss Punchki will be there. Hulupki guy will be there. And the whole cast of characters, the Pieroguettes, we're all going to be there. And, man, if you haven't seen the parade itself, is worth checking out the festival because it's really the biggest parade you'll probably see in your life.
And I should note also, Mr. Pierogi, I have the opportunity to speak to Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch monthly, and she attended Pierogi Fest for the first time last year. She was so excited leading up to it. She said she'd heard about it, and I'm actually going to be speaking to her later on today. But she's every opportunity that we have to speak, she always says, "Dee, I cannot wait to attend Pierogi Fest. She has so much fun."
She had a great time last year. She had the babushka on and everything. She was in the parade. So she definitely, from seeing her from last year, I knew she was going to be back this year. She had a blast, it seems like.
She had a blast, and that's all she talks about. Now, Mr. Pierogi, before I talk about the entertainment a little bit more, I want you to share with the attendees, you touched on it a little bit, but I want you to share with the attendees what they can expect from food vendors. Obviously, again, as you shared, there will be pierogies no matter where you turn. But talk more about some of the other food vendors that will be there. And I'll just say this, I go for the fried vegetables.
The fried vegetables. Well, the fried vegetables will be there once again this year. You know, it's interesting because we got a lot of great Polish establishments in here in the region. I know Dan's will be out there, Dan's Pierogies, Big Frank Sausage, of course, and countless others. And if I name them all, I feel like I forget some. But I mean, they pride themselves on having very unique food options. And besides pierogi, you'll never really see the same thing twice. So when you mentioned the fried vegetables, you'll see the fried vegetables. But then it's not like every booth has the fried vegetables. So there's we talk about diversity, so much diversity of food alone. You know, yeah. Burgers, hot dogs, ribs, whatnot. It's all going to be there. So if you're come hungry, that's all I can say. Come hungry. And there's no shortage of food selection.
Absolutely. And you know what? As you said that, I remember one year I was there. I remember seeing soul food there.
Hey, like, yeah,
oh,
there
my
is.
Goodness.
Listen, there's something for everybody at Pierogi Fest.
Now, I think I heard you mention earlier a beer garden. So it sounds like there's going to be a special adults only section. Is that correct?
Yes, there's two beer gardens this year. I think they had two the past few years now, but two beer gardens. So if you're at one end of this 119th Street, you don't have to walk to the other end to grab a drink. You can just do it in that section. So, yes, plenty of adult beverages and non-adult beverages as well. I'm sure lemonade, iced tea, that's all going to be out there. And you'll need that for the weather.
Mr. Pierogi, I cannot forget to talk about some of the region's small businesses that will be in attendance. So, because I always love going to purchase like unique jewelry, and I always pick up dog treats when I'm there as well. So spend a moment or two speaking about some of the vendors that will be there.
Yeah, a lot of craft vendors will be there. So if you're looking for that perfect item, you might find it at Pierogi Fest. You mentioned the dog treats. I know Naturally Jack's, which is based out of Highland, they're going to be there once again this year selling dog treats. And I do believe they'll probably have on hand their pierogi dog treats in the shape of pierogi. So that's a fun one. And they look so good, I'm tempted not to take a bite out of it. But I know I shouldn't because it's for dogs. But
yeah,
a lot of craft vendors. There's also, if you're looking for like a Pierogi Fest specific souvenir, the Chamber of Commerce, I know they have a whole wide selection of Pierogi Fest t-shirts, hoodies, magnets, bumper stickers, postcards, keychains, what have you. It's all there at the Chamber of Commerce gift shop area. So you'll leave with a full bag, that's for sure, whether you're shopping inside or outside. And plus the shops on 119th Street, they'll be open as well, selling their items. I know Mindbenders, Puzzles and Games, they got a special Pierogi Fest mini puzzles with the Bouchas, our cast of characters, the Pierogi Fest logo. So you'll come hungry, you'll leave filled, full, and also as your shopping goes, you'll leave full as well. So
I cannot let you go without talking about what everyone is looking forward to, and that's the live entertainment, right?
So yeah.
Spend a few minutes highlighting some of the acts that will be in attendance to perform for Pierogi Fest 2024.
It's big this year. Of course, it is the 30th anniversary, so it's really go big or go home when it comes to Pierogi Fest in all aspects, and that includes the musical lineup. A lot of great local bands throughout the course of the 3 days, from No Band Planets to Rocky Road. Different types of music there. Of course, the polka bands as well will be out in full force. Eddie Caros, I know, Take Five, and a number of others throughout the 3 days. And I can't forget the big one.
Uh-oh.
On Saturday night on the main stage. There's several stages, by the way, so there's really music on every corner of 119th Street. But on Saturday night at 8:30 p.m., well, they got the Indigo opening up for them, but Sugar Ray, the legendary rock band Sugar Ray from the 1990s, early 2000s, they will be performing on the main stage, and I know that's presented by the folks at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana there. So last year they brought Smash Mouth to us, which is a big name band. This year they're bringing Sugar Ray, which is another big name band, and it's hard to believe from 30 years ago,
right,
there might have been just one polka band playing on the corner to all these great acts coming to the 30th anniversary of Pierogi Fest. So, my goodness, your ears are in for a treat.
Mr. Pierogi, please, again, I would like for you to drop all of the details, including the dates and the times of the festival, the cost to attend, if there's a cost,
yeah,
as well as what everyone needs to know, and this is the most important, what everyone needs to know about parking.
Oh, for sure. So, yes, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 26th to the 28th there, starts pretty early in the morning time, 11 o'clock there or so, and then goes to the evening, 10 o'clock. Although Sunday, it does close at 5 o'clock. I should clarify that. So you don't have to go home, but you can't stay there after 5 o'clock.
Right.
But, parking itself, in the old days, it's kind of like you find your own parking spot around Whiting. If it has a cone or a statue out, that spot has been taken. Probably somebody's outside their home. But if you don't feel comfortable parking on a street, there's plenty of lots to choose from. I know Cal College, their lot is open. BP has some of their lots open, as well as Franklin. And I believe there's that new Hammond lot just south of the Wolf Lake Pavilion there. But all those lots are free. The whole fest is free. It's free to show up. Of course, you got to pay for the food and whatnot. But the show up at the fest, absolutely free. The parking is absolutely free. There is a shuttle bus service to and from the lots for $5, I believe it is. And they have a family rate as well. But if you feel just like making a trek, walking, getting your steps in, you could do that too. So, again, it's not just the side streets anymore. A lot of lots are available. So parking should not be a problem. And the best part about that, what I just said there, Dee, it's free.
That is the best part. And again, being able to park in one of those lots and hopping on a shuttle was the best thing that ever happened to Pierogi Fest. So Tony Panic is Mr. Pierogi. And again, Tony, I mean, Mr. Pierogi, we thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking. And we look forward to the wackiest, zaniest festival in the land this weekend.
Oh, man, I'm pumped up already. And Dee, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on back again this year, my sophomore year, myself as Mr. Pierogi. And for all details of Pierogi Fest, shameless plug for pierogifest.net. Check out the details there. And line up the full schedule. It's all there. But yeah, Dee, I'm excited. Hope you're excited. We're just days away from Pierogi Fest here.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Media. The home buying process can be long, complicated, and challenging. Indiana Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch joins us now to discuss what her office and the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority are doing as they crisscross the Hoosier State to meet with realtors to discuss the hurdles to home ownership. Lieutenant Governor Crouch, as always, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
It's always great to be with people that are on Central Time.
Lieutenant Governor Crouch, we have a lot to get caught up on as you share some updates from a few of the agencies that you lead as president of the Indiana Senate. But before we get into that, I want to speak to you about why you take so much joy in speaking to and with Hoosier women in particular. That's business leaders, industry leaders, mental health care leaders, those that have the toughest job on earth, stay-at-home moms, and of course, the creatives with the Hoosier women artists. And it seems that whether you are on a big stage or even if you are in a one-on-one conversation, I get the impression that you are always intentional with those conversations, those connections, with the words that you share. But I note that there are not a lot of women who have ascended to the ranks that in which you have in leadership in the Hoosier State. And to that point, I always like to ask you, over the course of your career being in public service, to see such a small delegation of women to your left and your right, what does that even feel like?
Well, you know, I try to always lift women up and to bring them along with me on the journey because it's otherwise a very lonely journey. And I remember there was a state representative, still is, I believe he's on the council up there, that said to me once, said that, you know, Suzanne, you always want to be at the table because if you're not at the table, you might be on the menu. And I think that's very true for us women. We have to fight for our right to be at the table, to be able to have those conversations, to be able to push the issues that we think are important that affect women and that affect children. And so, you know, I have tried throughout my years in public service to not just be a role model for women in general, but to try to really lift up and bring along on the journey those women who aspire to do good things for other women.
Lieutenant Governor Crouch, I'm glad we had the opportunity to catch you today while you're on the road on a tour. And I'm glad because I wanted to spend some time speaking about home ownership because, as we all know, it's the hallmark of the American dream. And it's one of the few paths to building generational wealth and as well as achieving financial freedom. But unfortunately for many, it can feel sort of kind of like a pipe dream. And I understand that you and the IHCDA are meeting with realtors across the state to get firsthand feedback on the real estate climate in various parts of the state. So spend some time sharing with our listening audience more about the tour and how you hope to address some of the hurdles to home ownership.
Yes. Well, and you know, we started that home ownership realtor tour really up there in La Porte in June of 2023. So just really about a year ago. And we have been trying to meet with realtors because realtors are really putting people in the largest investments of their lives. You know, the home, your home is your biggest investment typically. And not only is it an investment, but it's a place where you create memories and you live out dreams. And I'll tell you that for me, when I talk about my life, it's always in relationship to where I live. You know, either where I lived on Cole Road or Jackson Street or Red Bank Road or Clement Street or Browning Road. And so our lives are very much caught up and part of where we live and the homes that we are able to live in. And so being able to provide Hoosiers with assistance that gets them into those homes is one of the things that my Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority does on a daily basis. And so through that agency, we help first-time home buyers who are purchasing a home by providing down payment assistance. We also provide loans and financing, you know, for those that qualify. And in 2023, our housing agency was able to help 2,700 first-time home buyers.
Wow.
And so far this year, we've helped almost 1,900 first-time home buyers. And so I would encourage your listeners that if they are looking to buy a home for the first time, to visit our website at www.in.gov/IHCDA/homebuyers and get information on whether they qualify for that down payment assistance, which will help put them in the home of their dream.
I want to talk more about what Indiana is doing to improve the quality of life for all Hoosiers. So obviously housing plays a big part in the quality of life, but I would like for you to spend just a few minutes talking about another agency that you lead, the Office of Community and Rural Affairs, and what they are doing to help improve the lives of all Hoosiers.
Yes, well, the Office of Community and Rural Affairs, or we refer to it as OCRA, because you know in government we love our acronym.
Right.
And OCRA is really focused on improving quality of life, really particularly in rural Indiana. And they do it in a number of ways. We have $32 million in community development block grant money, federal money that comes to that agency that we are able to award to communities for water infrastructure, for blight clearance, for economic development, for historic preservation. So we have a number of programs that we award grants for to qualifying communities to be able to improve the quality of life. But one of the things that we also do through that agency is they head up the broadband initiative, and we have a program, the Internet Connectivity Program, where if you do not have internet or if you don't have adequate speed, you can go ahead and reach out to us and provide us your information. And then we will look at how we can get providers providing that service by getting them a little grant money. And we have really been able to provide that connectivity to those Hoosiers in Lake County and LaPorte County, and been able to award over almost $6 million in grant money to connect Hoosiers in those areas. So that is another important quality of life project, because we know if you aren't connected, you can't enjoy the quality of life that people can enjoy in your more urban areas. And then, of course, another program that we are so proud of is the Indiana Main Street Program. And we know that when you have a vibrant community, it's because you have a vibrant downtown. And so we look to empower and to support our Main Streets throughout Indiana. And we have a number of Main Street organizations. In fact, we have Main Street member area in your area. Michigan City, Rensselaer, Remington are all areas that have very vibrant Main Streets. Being able to help communities with the economy, but being able to attract people to their downtowns, to be able to increase the assessed value, but to be able to spend money and encourage that economic development activity. It's all about quality of life, Dee, because we know that that's the next great chapter in Indiana's history. We have a sound economic foundation, but we know quality of life is where people are now looking to. It used to be that people followed business, but today business is following people. And businesses want to locate where they have that quality of life that people are looking for. So we are proud of our efforts to be able to improve that quality of life throughout all of Indiana through the programs that we have.
Lieutenant Governor Crouch, speaking of the agencies that you lead, you're Indiana's Secretary of Agriculture and Rural Development, and you have some exciting news to share regarding the Hoosier State breaking cover crop conservation record for the third year in a row. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, you know, it's also that kind of quality of life effort that agriculture is doing. And for the third year in a row, farmers have exceeded the amount that they planted in cover crops from the year before and have planted 1.7 million acres of cover crops, all voluntary. So the farmers are taking it upon themselves to plant these cover crops. And the reason it is so important is because those cover crops keep the soil on the land, keeps it from getting into our waterways. And so it's about keeping our environment clean, you know, not just for today, but for tomorrow. And in fact, the 1.7 million acres that we planted actually prevented almost 1.8 million tons of soil from getting into the waterways. I mean, that's kind of hard to even fathom what that is like. But if you, if I may, 1.8 million tons is the equivalent of 18,000 train freight cars. So think about that. 18,000 freight train cars of soil we're keeping on the land. And you're doing a great job up there in your area in Lake Porter, Newton, and Jasper County. Farmers are really taking the initiative in planting cover crops to keep the soil on the land, keep our waterways clean, and keep improving the quality of life in Indiana.
Lieutenant Governor Crouch, we have just a few minutes left. And before I let you go, I just want to note that I oftentimes find myself in discussion with you about tourism serving as an economic driver in the Hoosier State, right? So the wackiest festival in the Midwest, Pierogi Fest, kicks off this Friday in Northwest Indiana. And it's a 3-day festival attracting hundreds of thousands of people from not only the Hoosier State, but from around the country as well. And it brings in a lot of tourism dollars for the Whiting Roberts Dale community in the region as well, for that matter. And I know you were in attendance for this wacky affair last year. Do you plan to make the trip up to the region this weekend for it?
Well, unfortunately, I am going to be out of state. I have a conference, Republican Lieutenant Governors Association conference, out of state. And so, unfortunately, I will not be able to attend. But I will tell you this. I love Northwest Indiana. I love the culture. I love the melting pot of ethnicity that you have there. Was able to attend the Pierogi Festival last year. I mean, you all are leading Indiana forward into the future. You are the future of Indiana because of your cultural and ethnic diversity, because of your tourism, your attractions with the dunes and with everything going on. And I hate to miss the wackiest festival, but I'll tell you what, I'll be back for another one.
Oh, well, we cannot wait to see you. I had the opportunity to speak to Mr. Pierogi earlier today, Mr. Pierogi himself, and he said that he remembered you being in attendance last year, and he knows that you had a wonderful time, and they were just so excited that you made the trip, and they, of course, will open up their doors and give you as many pierogies as you like whenever you come back.
Well, I'll tell you what, I gained 5 pounds when I was up there, so I can't come back too often.
Absolutely. Suzanne Crouch is Indiana's Lieutenant Governor. And Lieutenant Governor Crouch, I don't take it lightly that you always carve out time to spend with us here in Northwest Indiana, sharing everything that you are doing as a president of the Indiana Senate. I know you are on the road, on tour right now. So again, I thank you, and I look forward to chatting with you next month.
I can't wait, Dee. Take care.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for this week. Thanks to our guest, and we'll be back with you next week with an all-new show.